Got a question for you. Have you died yet?
Every day. Every morning.
And that's another question, is how often do we die? Not physically. You may smell like it, but you're not dead yet. But you know what? We're all born in sin. Amen? Everybody's born in sin. We're born with because of granddaddy Adam. We inherited what we call the Adamic sin nature. And every human on earth has that. That's why, by the way, a side note, it's so important that Jesus wasn't born of man so that he didn't inherit that. As you know, Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and thus he did not inherit that. And he was sinless. And not only that, he taught us to be that way. Now, we have a lot of work to do to get there, because we did inherit that nature, but we don't want to use that as a cop-out. I've heard 1,000 times, well, after all, nobody's perfect. You know, but you know what Paul said? Strive towards perfection. Work on it all the time. I bet you can shift gears better than you could to start with. I hope. If I hadn't, if God was teaching me, would have thrown me out. There ain't no question about that. I didn't get to go to school. I learned in the right seat over there. But we got an option. Since we're born in sin, and sin is around us, we live in a sin-filled world, right? We got one of two options. We can die to the sin, or we can die in the sin. You're going to do one or the other. You're either going to die to sin, that is, accepting Christ as your Savior, learning to walk according to the dictates of His Word, or you'll die in your sin, and then there's no hope. Then you go to hell. I was talking to a person this week that was suicidal, and that breaks my heart when somebody's giving up. And this was a man that used to be work in church. I mean, I've known him for many, many years. He said, God doesn't love me anymore. Well, and I asked him, it was started on Facebook. And I said, let's meet next week for coffee. And he said, at first he said yes, and then he said no. And then it's like God said, not next week, right now. And I told my wife, I said, you know, what's going on? And so anyway, I took a quick shower, and I went to where he was at, and he told me, he said, no, I've changed my mind. I said, well, I'm on my way, which was true. I was going out my driveway, but I was on the way. Well, we met and we talked, but you see, we have that choice. Now, sin will never leave you. Satan's going to see to that. But the good side of that is Jesus said, I'll never leave you, right? See, we've already won. The enemy just ain't got enough sense to realize he's lost. Amen? He lost when Jesus rose from the dead. Not when he died, but when he rose from the dead. Right? Victorious. Turn to, I didn't write it down. Start to say page. John 8:21. Here's a story in your Bible there. Somebody tell me what page that's on when you find it. John 8:21. Here's a story. Jesus was actually talking with some religious people. Probably in the synagogue ever since.
107.
Okay. And they were probably in church, as the old saying goes, every time the doors was open. But they were called Pharisees. That was who they were, a group of Pharisees. And they were trying to justify themselves by the law. In other words, we keep the letter of the law and we do this and we do. I can hear that in my mind. It's not written down that way, but I can, because I've heard the same argument and you have too, you know. I'm not as bad as old Joe. You know, I don't do this, I don't do that. Well, wonderful that you don't do that, but good works won't get you there either. Amen. Amen? And I've had people say, well, my good part outweighs the bad. Well, that's all well and good, but it won't get you to heaven. There's only one thing. Well, here's what Jesus told them. In John 8:21, he said, I'm going away and you'll seek me and will die how? What did it say?
In sin.
You'll die in your sins. That's right. Where I go, you cannot come. Why? Because they refused to die to the sin, because it felt good. I had a message many years ago, it's probably on tape somewhere, called Sin Sure Is Fun. And it is for a season, because it appeals to our flesh. Amen. What appeals to me won't appeal to you. What appeals to you don't appeal to them. But Satan knows how to mash the right button, right? Why would Jesus say that to a bunch of religious people? And by the way, when somebody says, you're a religious man, that's not a compliment for me. No, I don't have religion. I have a relationship. Amen? I know him personally. We were just last week up at Pigeon Forge for a few days, and there was a place provided to us by some real special people, and watching the leaves change. In fact, we stopped someplace and got a Coke, and we asked them how far it was, and they said, well, it depends on how many leaf watchers you run up with. I said, well, that's who we are, as a matter of fact. That's what we're doing. I'm proud to say now people blow at me instead of me blowing at them. But you know, watching all that, how can you say there's no God? Everything, by the way, has to die to live. Our house, same thing. I mean, Jan and I was kind of laughing. We took a drive in a cove up there, and you know, people were ooh and awing at the deer. You know, taking pictures of the deer, and I could have showed you that from my yard. I mean, I got pictures of the deer in my own yard. But I love to see this at this time of the year, seeing this die. Why? Because spring's coming. In fact, we're going to talk about that tonight. There's new life. But in order for us to get to heaven, in order for us to go where he's going, he told the Pharisees, you can't come. Why? There was another religious man in John chapter 3. You've heard it a million times, right? Nicodemus came to Jesus and even admitted that he was a rabbi. He said, you are a great teacher, you're this, you're that. And Jesus said, but, right? Again, a person in church all the time, doing all the right things, saying all the right words, but he lacked one thing. Who knows what it was? He was not born again. I was reprimanded some years ago by a person I can't say because of the CD. He holds a lot of power, but he reprimanded me for using the term born again too often and quoting the Bible too often. What else do you quote? What else do you do? Where do you go? He said, well, just talk about it. And I said, oh, how will that person know what I'm talking about? You know? And don't get me wrong, I don't preach at people all the time. I try not to anyway. Maybe I do, I don't know. but if I love you, I'll tell you the truth. Just like the guy I mentioned that was suicidal, you know. He said, you're going to come tell me how much God loves me. And I thought, well, yeah. But on the way up there, I said, God, help me not to say that. Help me show him you love him. Right? He's heard it enough. We need something else. And you as truckers out on the road, man, you're where it's at. I was just telling them earlier, you know, I said, y'all doing what I dreamed of doing. Driving my truck and witnessing on the road. Because you see a lot more people than I do. You talk to a lot more people than I do. Because you talk to the whole world with a CB radio. By the way, CB means Christian Broadcasting, in case somebody asked. Well, that's what I thought. And Big Uncle told me, I didn't come up with that. And Big Uncle was big. So you didn't challenge Big Uncle. He had 650 watts kicking a Connex 33. So he said, when I speak, E.F. Hutton will listen. And again, he didn't do it preaching. But too much, the Christians, us, are backing into the corner and accepting whatever the world dishes out. No, I'm not going to do that. In Jesus' name, I'm not going to do that. I want to let them know that I'm dying to my flesh. See, there's that flesh come up again. Well, don't say nothing. You might offend them. How many times you heard that? I don't want to offend nobody. Well, I'd rather offend you than you go to hell. Okay? But again, now, I'm not talking about preaching at somebody. I'm talking about just witnessing. Big difference. Big difference. You can't win nobody to Christ, tell them how stupid they are for not being a Christian. You know? That ain't going to work. I mean, if they're in some other religion and you know it's not biblically correct, the last thing you want to do is attack that religion. Here's where the answer is, right there. Chaplain Joe, do you believe so-and-so? And I said, well, it don't matter what I believe. Let's look and see what God said. I don't like some of it either, because it hits me. Amen? But I have a choice. Die to me or die to God. And I don't want to do that. And when I say die to God, I mean just not acknowledge Him. The Apostle Paul said in, somebody already mentioned it, 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. It's a daily thing. Because every morning I get up, my flesh got a whole new program set up for me. While I've been sleeping, Satan's been conjuring up something for that day. We were talking earlier about having a flat tire blown out or get delayed or, you know, a thousand things happen to you. Well, it might just be God's plan. Now, I don't like it either. I don't like it either. I blew my first steering axle tire on the coach, what, last trip, coming out of, Idaho. And in the middle of nowhere, of course, you know, you don't do it in front of a truck stop.
Anywhere in Idaho's middle of nowhere.
and of course, Bridgestone's one of our sponsors. And so all I got to do is call them and get another one. Well, the closest one was going to be $500-something road service. And I couldn't afford the free tire. But Bubba was there in that little town and had the tire I needed. Well, some of you have heard that story. But the point I want to make is where we stopped just happened to be in front of a home that people came out to look at the motorhome, and Jan invited a lady to come in and sit down and have something to drink while we're waiting, and we're supposed to witness to it. I mean, it's God's tire. If He wants it to blow out, it ain't none of my business, right? It's God's schedule. We say we give our life to Christ. Paul said, I die daily. It's kind of the same thing, right? Turn to Romans 5:12, and I failed to write this down. Paul also said, by the way, in Philippians 1:21, he said, to live is Christ, but to die is what? Gain. What did he mean by that? Does he mean literally fall dead? No. He says, the more I die to my flesh, the more I can live for Him. And it's a growing process. Being born again is the beginning of a great adventure. Not the end, the beginning. You know? And He wants to teach us more and more and more and more, you know. I'm enjoying spending time with my grandchildren now. Since we got other people doing the traveling on the road, I don't have to spend a lot of time like we used to do on the road. So I'm getting to spoil them. And that's a joy. That's a privilege, an honor, and my job. I consider that part of my job, is spoiling them. But watching them grow up and taking on things from one learning to talk, learning to walk. We don't expect much out of Sarah Beth. She just turned 2. We don't expect her to make up her own bed. We don't expect her. But now what about the 23-year-old? He's supposed to be doing some, you know, different. Same thing with God. We're born again like a little child, the Bible says. But then we start growing. Romans 5:12, if you're there, says this, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Here's that Adamic nature I talked about a while ago, right? Because all have sinned. All have sinned. Well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I hear that in the South a lot. I don't like that. I don't like that. Because the dictionary says a sinner is one who sins habitually, a reprobate. I don't know about you, but that don't describe a born-again child of the Most High God. Now, Chaplain Joe, are you saying you don't sin? No, no, no. Because the Bible says if you say you're without sin, you're a liar. Well, what's the difference? The reprobate, the one who sins habitually, don't worry nothing about it. It's normal. Their language is normal. Their whatever is normal. The adulterer don't think anything about it. It had become normal to that person. But when you're born again and you sin, and I think you can identify with this, we know it right away. At least I do. I mean, I'm convicted.
Amen.
You know, but I have a choice then. How do I react to the conviction? Do I say, well, it wasn't that bad? Or do I say, God, forgive me. Help me not to do that again. That wasn't good. You know, it might be a reaction to something. I don't mean a curse necessarily. I don't mean, you know, something that we could label sin, but I don't know about you, but Jan, my beloved wife, a lot of you know her. I'm trucking down the road in the motor home, pulling the trailer, and, you know, and it's kind of long, and four-wheeler's riding right side of me, reading what's on the coach, actually, which is good. Right, I'm sure it happens to y'all. And she looks at me and she said, that ain't a very reverend look on your face. I'm trying to get out. And I'm looking at them in the mirror, you know, I said, well, go back or come on or do something. Don't sit in the middle. I said, well, you don't know nothing. You ought to see the thought in my mind. You think that look is bad. But you know, again, I need to work on that. Because somebody sees that look, right? I might deter them from coming to Christ. It might delay them. It might...
They'll think somebody stole your vehicle. Somebody else.
Yeah. So every one of us was born in sin. But the good part of that is, you know, Jesus died so we could live. And again, we'll get into the living tonight. Janet also mentioned a lot of times that I mentioned earlier that being born again is a place to start. It's a great start. When we pray a prayer, and we're going to do that at the end of this service, if there's sin in your life, if there's something going on that you know is not right, we're going to pray together at the end of this service so that you can confess that to God and get rid of it. But now, the other side of that is you need to turn around and start studying the Word. Get in the Word. Turn to Romans 6. Again, whatever page that is. Romans chapter 6. Now, I know we live under grace, right? Thank God. Thank God. Because I wouldn't make it about 10 minutes under the law. Somebody would stone me to death. I mean, I watched one of you pretty ladies walk by, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that because I admire you, okay? Not lust. But now, under the law, if this guy standing over decided I lusted, they just stone you to death. No rights, no protest, no, okay? Thank God for grace, men. Amen? I don't like to look at men. I like to look at women, you know. I hope it stays that way, too. But he said in here, look at what he said in Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound more? You know? No. 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 Certainly not, he said. How shall we who died to sin in it live in it any longer? I read that wrong. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? There should be a change. Amen? We shouldn't be still living in sin. Or do you not know that as many of us that were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's what baptism is symbolic of. I'm sure you know that. When you're baptized, you go down and buried with Christ and raised fresh and anew. Now, of course, we know that water baptism is not necessary to be saved. So the only thing that's necessary to be saved is ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Because if that person died the next second, they're going to heaven, right? I do think you ought to get that done as a public profession of your faith in Christ. And that's what it's about. That's what water baptism is about. We want to let people know. And it goes on down to verse 12. Look at verse 12 in Romans 6. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. Don't let it reign. Don't let it get in control. Now, all of us are tempted. All of us mess up sometimes. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, you know. But if I'll give this, for instance, a lot, and you're probably tired of hearing it if you listen to many of the CD. But if you walked out of your truck in this parking lot and didn't see that curb right there and fell over it and broke your nose or hurt yourself, if it's 10 years from now when you come to this truck stop again, what's the first thing you think of?
That curb.
Watch that curb. That's right. So in other words, if we stumble over something in life, we need to say, watch that curb. Last time I was there, it got me in trouble. Last time I did this, it got me in trouble. Right? I've shared this too many times probably, but the biggest problem I had after getting saved was getting rid of pornography in my life. And I had to change places I stopped because I wasn't strong enough yet in that area, because I knew where the magazines were. I knew which ones were covered and which one wasn't. I knew that, you know, where you could go. Been doing it too long, right? So we know where sin is. What we need to do is learn how to avoid that. And my truck was almost like a magnet when I get to one of those exits, you know. And Satan would make sure my kidneys needed some help. Said, no, I'm not going to do that. No, by God's grace, I'm not going to do that. At first, I thought I could, well, I can go in there. I don't have to do that. How many has heard that? I don't have to do that. Well, the best thing is, you know, in Georgia, we have a lot of rattlesnakes. The best thing to do is don't get around them if you can help it. You will worry about whether or not he'll bite you or whatever. I just ain't going to go there. I mean, I killed a rat snake at house the other day, and somebody said, well, he wouldn't hurt you. I said, make me hurt myself. He's a snake. That's it. He's a dead snake now. We'll just set rat traps if you don't mind. You know, they're not quite as dangerous. He said, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. But in verse 13, he says, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God, being alive from the dead. And let's see, verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. In other words, we should be growing in our faith. We should be walking in the Word. And again, we'll talk about that tonight. But what we want to think about today, this morning, is dying to that sin nature that we all have. Dr. Billy Graham got a sin nature. Some people look at me and say, "Woo!" Well, he'd tell you the same thing. But it's not in control. If you read Romans 8, I think it's 5 through 8, it'll talk about the sin nature versus the spirit. And basically, as a born-again Christian, whichever one of those two I feed the most is going to be the strongest in my life. I don't know about you, but my flesh don't like to hear this, the Word of God. It don't. But then since I know it's good for me, I listen to it anyway. I read my Bible just about every morning, and I read it out loud because Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I want to hear that and get it down to my spirit, man, so that, as Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But if I don't put it in my heart, it can't come out here. Now, what I see don't go in my heart. Listen very carefully. What you see goes in your mind. Where does Satan like to play? In your mind. He's great at it. Play mind games with you, right? Me, you, everybody else. So if the word is only in your mind, it can get contaminated. But if you hear it, it goes in your spirit, man. Believe me, I've tried this. It works. I started doing that a long time ago in my truck. Just when I go to bed, I then cassette, tell you how old I am, put in a cassette, and it played till I woke up. And I was hearing what? The Word of God. Nothing else. Just the infallible, inerrant Word of God, and it was going in my spirit, man. And that's part of the way I overcome the thing I was talking about. Because the Word got stronger than that desire. Amen. You see what I'm saying? But now it's your option and my option where I do that or not. My flesh will give me 17 good reasons not to listen to it. Too big a hurry. You know, you don't have time. You know, you're too tired. You can't rest listening to all that. Get behind me, Satan. I know what I need, and I'm going to do it, okay? What kind of fruit are you producing? Since you've been born again, if the Spirit's in control of your life like He wants to be, then we're going to start producing spiritual things, good things. We're going to be kinder. We're going to be more considerate. One of my favorite things I mention a lot is standing at the door of the truck stop and opening the door for people. I like to say, welcome to Walmart. And without fail, that'll bring a smile or a laugh, you know. Well, maybe get them off their troubles for a minute or two. Yeah. Doesn't hurt. Can't hurt. So what kind of, you know, another question, what about your old habits? How many of them are still reigning in your life? Remember, Paul said, don't let that happen. And could be, because I'll tell you this story again, that my getting rid of pornography in my life was a head-on collision with God. Crying and praying, God, you took this, you know, you gave me power over this, you did that. Why won't you take this? I shouldn't ask. I shouldn't ask. He spoke to my heart so loving and kind and blunt and said, you don't want me to. You're enjoying it. In other words, my flesh was still in control in that area. And I go, whoa. That's the night I said, by your help, by your grace, I will never do that again. And God has given me power. Now, don't get me wrong. Does that mean Satan quit? He didn't say, well, rats, he got delivered. No. No. Here he comes. I got power to stay out of truck stop. Well, they come alongside me, right?
He put out 20 more billboards, didn't
he? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, everywhere. I could walk across the parking lot and somebody left a magazine and the devil took the wind and turned it to the right page. I'm serious. But I said, no. In Jesus' name, no. I will not be subjected to Him any longer. You, me, everybody born in sin, remember, right? We played His game, right? We danced to His tune in one way or another. You know, you might have been a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout. You might have been, you know, but you was lost when you was born. And somewhere along the line, you had to get saved. You had to give your life to Christ to become a Christian. You had to die to that flesh. And then it became, like I say, an ongoing thing. Let's look back at Romans 8 again. Are you there? You're in Romans, I think. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 now.
166.
And I apologize, I left a blank here to write the number in and never got around to it.
I got you back.
Jan and them were twisting my arm and made me talk this morning. This Jan, not my Jan.
Careful, you're on TV.
Yeah. Romans 8:17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. We have to die.
8:17,
I think. Is it 5:17?
5:17.
Okay. I wrote down the wrong number. I apologize. Stupid.
One man's offense, death reigns through the one.
It's that stupid computer of mine. No. I hit the wrong key. But the point is here, what he's saying is that, you know, through sin came death. By the way, we could talk about that again, because God don't cause death, because death is directly related to sin. That's where it come from, right? There was no death until Adam and Eve sinned. Of course, we can only speculate, what if they didn't? And of course, everybody dies does not necessarily mean they're in sin. Understand that. Because somebody, we were talking earlier about, for instance, somebody on drugs or alcohol can run a light or do whatever, run into the side of a Christian and kill them, and they die and go to heaven. You know, I mean, we don't know why all those things happen. I don't have the answer. There's some things he just said, wait and see, you know, or I hate it when he said it, just trust me. What? And many of you know the story of our granddaughter, you know, standing watching life leave her body, literally standing at the foot of her bed. Most horrible night of my life. And I couldn't do nothing. I was praying as hard as I know how to pray. And heard the doctor tell my son, we're not going to keep her. We can't. We're not going to be able to save her, I think is the way he put it. Oh, no. Surely he didn't say that. She's only six. And to hear this little voice in my head say, where's your God now? What are you going to say to Joey and Trina? My answer was, my God's where it's always been. Now, don't get me wrong. It didn't come instant because I was hurt. I was hurting bad. But then I thought, God's where he's always been. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us.
Same God in the valley as on the mountain.
That's right. And he said that he would cause all things to work together for good. And I'm thinking at the moment, I don't know how, but I know you will. I can't imagine how this could be good, but it can. And he can do that. He can take the sin of somebody and make it turn into good for somebody else. Right? He didn't orchestrate it, but he can cause it to work out for good. And of course, most of you know the story. My son, Maggie's daddy, is now serving God for the last 4 years. And after 20 years of being on drugs, many times the enemy would say, you might as well quit praying, he's dead. I hadn't heard from him in weeks. And I'd hear that little voice. He's killed himself. He's OD'd. And I said, you're a liar. John 8:44 says, you're a liar and the father of all lies. I won't believe that. I'm not going to do that. No. Am I a faith giant? No. No. Not at all. I just know what this says. It wasn't about Joe or Joe's faith. It's about this, the Word of God. You need to settle in your mind that this can't be wrong. That's impossible. That's impossible. We did some in the ministry years ago, and I won't go into the whole story, but a person in business who was watching that said, what if? I said, what do you mean, what if? Well, what if it don't work? I said, I'll get rich. She said, how are you going to get rich if it don't work? I said, I'm going to write a book on how God failed. Everybody will buy that. And she looked at me like, are you crazy? Of course not. He can't fail. Amen? Now, I can fail. I don't understand what he said sometimes. I do the wrong thing sometimes, but he didn't fail. I did. Right? We settled that in our mind. So, let me ask you something. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Golly, I'm out of time. That's not unusual. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. How many times have you heard somebody say, Jesus is coming soon? Right? I'm 64.
Wasn't that supposed to be today?
Now, no, yeah, in fact, yeah, it was on Facebook.
Yeah.
Is that today?
Yeah.
He changed the date for today. Yeah.
Well, evidently, we missed it. But
yeah,
I
guess we did.
I wouldn't want to be him when he meets the man.
Woohoo!
We didn't get raptured today.
Well, you know what we need? When somebody says that or challenges you with that, well, I've heard that all my life. Well, say it's still true. Jesus is coming soon. The only trouble with measuring with God is He is eternal. He's always been, He always will be. And the Bible says a day to Him is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So we can't, soon to me means right now. You know what I mean? Let's get on with it. Well, to somebody that's been around for billions of years, what's another 100 years, I mean, when you think about it. The thing is, we want to do is share that with the world that Jesus is coming soon. And look around us, folks. This world's in a mess. I'm not a doomsday prophet. I don't mean that. I don't mean no scare tactics, but hey, I'm excited. In fact, we saw that headline scroll across the TV the other day that the end of the world is going to happen. I told Jen, I said, hallelujah, I hope he's right. I hope he's right. We'll get to go home. I won't even need Tylenol anymore, let alone all this other stuff. I mean, this senior citizen stuff. Keep everything working and, you know. 2 Peter 3:8. But, beloved, do not forget this thing. With the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years of a day. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what?
Repentance.
There's even a movement in America today, and we run up with it. I won't say where. I'll tell you privately if you want to know where it's based in the United States. That said repentance is not necessary to be saved. And I was hoping one of our former chaplains, and I do mean former, bought into that. And he was in a Southern Baptist church in that state. And the only reason I mentioned that is because, you know, scripturally, they're pretty tight, right? But what I mean is, I said, is that what your pastor's teaching at Eastside, I think it was, whatever the name of the church was? Oh, no, he said, we've been enlightened. We're in a non-denominational church. Now, don't get me wrong, there's great non-denominational churches. Understand that. There's great every kind, really, pretty much. Pretty much, not all of them, but anyway. We've been enlightened. I said, I don't think so. I think you've been darkened, if anything. And I called his pastor, hoping that this guy had misunderstood him. He gave me his pastor's name and number. I give you mine. I mean, anything you hear me say, if I can't back it up with the Word of God, then we need to trash it. But I talked to him, and I said, I believe that so-and-so has misunderstood you. And he said, oh, no. Oh, no, that's right. He said, repentance would be works. And I quoted him this verse and several more where Jesus said, if you don't repent, you shall perish. Period. You know what his response was? And I'm sharing this with you because you're out there and among all this stuff. You get every ism and schism in the world thrown at you, and you better know how to sort through it. You better be dyed to flesh enough that you can discern what's right and what's wrong. He said, quote, that's not found in the book of John, end quote. And I said, sir, there's 65 more books you need to consider. I love the book of John. I direct people there, especially to begin with. But there's 65 more books that make up the book. This is not a good book, by the way. It's the book. And it tells us that we should die to our flesh. Let me ask you this. Do you know for certain? Now, don't answer this. Just think. Do you know for sure? As they say, if it was your turn, if you were to die right now, and don't do it in this chapel, by the way. I don't want to have to explain that. But anyway, if you were to die right now, none of us knows, really. I might not get out of here. And by the way, if I don't, start the party. Start the party. Because I'm in heaven. By the time you realize I'm dead, I'll be in heaven. And don't you let nobody bring me back. I'll be mad. But no, seriously, when my time comes, quote, unquote, I'm going home to be with Jesus. There's not one iota of a doubt in my mind that that's what's going to happen. If there's a doubt in your mind right now, we're going to pray a simple prayer according to 1 John 1 and 9. It says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All. Every bit of it. I don't understand that either. I just know it works. I don't have to understand everything. I've been married to the same wonderful, beautiful woman for almost 45 years, and I sure don't understand her. And all the husband said, amen. But I love her just the same. And the further we go into this, the more exciting life gets, because I don't ever know. Well, anyway. We enjoy living for God. We enjoy being together. We enjoy working together. She's coming around. Those that are praying for her, please keep praying. We're turning around. We're getting out of the fog of this thing. I'll tell you more about that later. But now, if there's a doubt in your mind whatsoever, we're going to do what the Word of God says. We're going to confess that to God. We don't have to itemize the sins. We don't have to name them. He knows what it is. Even if it's just uncertainty in your life, let's get rid of that.
Can I ask you something?
Just a second. After I pray. Go ahead. What is it? Quickly. Did you want to ask a question?
Yeah. If I cannot get rid of my... I don't know if it's a sin. No, smoking.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to get rid of it, but I cannot. That's a sin.
Let God take care of that.
Because...
Ask Him.
Not my soul wants to smoke, my body wants to smoke.
Right? That's right. But that's an area.
That I'm listening to my body, and I'm not strong enough to listen to my soul.
All right. Ask God to give you strength there. See, obviously He's convicted you of it, like He did me, right? If He's convicted, and I remember Christy, but He's convicted you, and what we say, just like me in pornography, okay? I can't do it. He said, that's the smartest thing you said all day. He knows you can't do it. He knows you don't have the power. And He's standing by right now wanting to give you the strength to overcome that. Now, He'll either do it one or two ways. From experience, I've noticed, He'll either deliver you and you'll never want it again. Or, in my case, with smoking, every time I had a cup of coffee, I wanted another cigarette. All right, but on March of 1972, smoking in front of a guy I was trying to witness to, he said, you smoke, I drink, what's the difference? And I thought, that's a good point. He nailed me, right? I'm not criticizing you, please understand, I'm just telling you what happened to me. I remember, in fact, I said, Joel, you need to get saved. You know that? And I had that Marlboro between us. Right? Ready to condemn him to hell for drinking that beer over there that we used to drink together. He said that to me, and I remember doing that and stepping on it. I said, no, I used to. Now, I thought, well, I've heard all this deliverance stuff. I won't never want no more. Wrong. In fact, I wanted to catch that one on the way down, you know. But my point is this. This is what worked for me, and you can try it if you like. When the urge comes, and any of this, by the way, any sin, anything, say, God, you promised to help me. That's all I'd say, and it would go away. He gave me strength for that one, then the next time, then the next time. And I got 24 hours without a cigarette. I thought I was a combat veteran. You know, I mean, golly. I had smoked all day. Woo! You know? Now, I know some of you smoke a lot. Some of you smoke a little. Some smoke sometimes. So, you know, we're all different. But if God speaks to our heart, like he has you, like he has me, right? Then we got to deal with it. Then we got to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to die to that. Okay? There again, it's like Paul saying, I die daily. It wasn't the same thing all the time, I don't think. He was growing in his walk, see? And he said, I got to get rid of this. It's offensive. It will cause somebody else to sin to watch me do it. Okay? I hear people say that they drink, you know, socially. Well, I was social too. I drank every bit of it in case it spoiled. You know, I didn't want it. We were real sociable, you know. But now, it's not going to draw me back to it if I see you drink, okay? Because I just don't want it. But now somebody else, see, it might be offensive. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So we're growing, and that's what we're talking about. I'm glad you mentioned that, by the way. Because this is what it's about, is gaining ground. As a Christian, right, I need it as much as you do. There's areas of my life I hate. I really do. This flesh. Paul said in another place, I wish I could get out of this flesh. Not in those words, right? Oh, that's one reason I'm looking forward to heaven, because I won't have it anymore. I won't have that anymore, you know? But until then, I better learn to die to what it's trying to get me to do, right? Temper. Oh!
He convicted me on that one too.
That was one of my difficulties. Difficulties. I'm not bragging. I'm a combat veteran from Vietnam, and you walk out of a free fire zone. I mean, you're taught to annihilate your enemy. Period. No questions asked. That builds a lot of hate in you that you don't even know is there. But then as we grow, God began to reveal, said, big, you know. You were trained, but I want to retrain you. I want to teach you to love your enemies. Are you crazy? Matthew said, I've got to love those that despitefully use me.